all set?
Sure.
Sounds good. Six PM, I will call the Human Services Committee meeting to order. We have the roll call order on, if you got to sign it, please sign the attendance. All supervisors are present, except for Supervisor Stocker is on his way, he said he should be here shortly. With that, we will move to citizens' comments. Are there any citizens wishing to speak? Any citizens wishing to speak? Seeing none, citizen comments are closed. Couple comments from myself, I'd just like to thank Linda Bondala for her work on the, there she is, sorry. Great job on the, I attended the picnic that they had over at Brookside. It was very well attended, saw a lot of happy residents, saw a lot of happy family and the employees and their families. You put on a great show and it was good to see that live music out there and Orca Cobb, and it was a great event. I guess it was the first, was that the first full-scale one we had since COVID, I believe.
Yep.
So, did a fantastic job and it was great to see everybody out there. Also, one other comment, just in the future, if there are any items that you wish to be added to the agenda, please do it no later than Thursday. There's some last minute changes to tonight's agenda, so just in the future, please give those to me before Friday so that the county employees have enough time to get things put on the agenda. With that, I will move any other supervisor comments. Supervisor Nowoski.
I too would like to comment on the Brookside event. I'm sorry that I couldn't be there this year. I had a conflict, but I received a number of phone calls and emails from people who attended, family members and residents who said it was wonderful and they were happy to have it back. So thanks again.
All right, let the record show that Supervisor Stocker is present this evening. Any other supervisor comments? All right, seeing none, youth governance. Any comments?
I do have a question about, so last meeting, I apologize, I wasn't there, but there was the opioid presentation, and I wanted to ask about the possibility of bringing Narcan training into schools. Is that possible for the community outreach that we should do?
What kind of training?
Narcan training.
Absolutely. If your school administration would like to be Narcan trained, we certainly can offer. I believe the age limit for Narcan training, John, is...
I don't know if there is.
Okay.
But I know that we've trained a lot of the classified employees
right.
on that, and certainly we can reach out to an upper administration to see if that's something that they would allow, and then we can make that available to those who are interested in the younger.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, any other comments from you, Governor? Supervisor Nowoski.
Do you have a specific reason why you're not attracting training in schools? Was there a response to an incident? Do you feel like there's student demand for that?
I think it would be useful to have in terms of preparation. And I looked up some statistics and the use of drugs is going way up in high schools. So.
Yeah,
there were some incidents last year where it came in the school. So if we hear from students, that's really important.
From a student perspective, too, at an intro high school, I've seen some drug use going up, so I think just taking preventative action may be helpful. And I know a lot of kids are interested in becoming Narcan trained. I think there's a lack of awareness about Narcan. I don't think a lot of kids know what it is, and like because it's essentially like if somebody even isn't having an overdose, it won't harm them. So I think it's just useful for people to know about it and keep it on hand.
Dr. Jansen, is that just to that? Is this something that maybe we can have our the position that we just hired for the resource position, the education resource prevention specialist? That's the one. No. Is there any way maybe we can have them look into this a little bit further as
Absolutely.
Far as the
oh, sure.
application? I know they are focused on one school, but just overall.
Absolutely,
we got to get back to that. Awesome. Thank you very much. All right. Any other comments? Seeing none, we'll move on to the approval of the minutes from August 1st, 2023.
So moved.
Second.
All right, moved by Supervisor Juhas, second by Supervisor Kirsten. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the minutes are approved. Moving on to number five, resolution to approve the appointment of Supervisor Jeff Wamble to serve on the Grayson Kenosha Community Action Agency. Do you have anyone presenting today?
I will present this. As you can see in the resolution, Supervisor Wamble will be taking a vacated county board supervisor spot that was held by late Jerry Gulley. This appointment will be through September 2026 and fulfills one of the requirements for their board.
All right, is there a motion?
I would so move.
Second.
All right, motion by Supervisor Gearson, second by Supervisor Stocker. Any discussion?
I have a question.
Supervisor Gearson.
When I was an auditor, one of the things I audited was the Racine Kenosha Community Action Agency. And they were housed in Memorial Hall in Racine. Where are they physically housed now?
Their main office in Racine, I don't have the exact address, but it's over by the zoo.
Oh.
I'm like a block or so.
Oh, it's not sure.
So I think a block off.
It's on Main, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gould and.
Yes.
Main, a little bit to the west.
And who's the road fish?
There was a.
Let me put that in my GPS.
There was a record, there was a person named Mike Lill that used to run it here in Kenosha. I'm guessing he's not.
Mike retired several years ago. Pam Hallbach runs the Kenosha office and has for several years.
Okay, good. Those are my only questions. I was just reminiscing.
All right, is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. On to item number six. Is there a motion to reconsider?
Mr. Chairman, could we move the presentation for our staff up to this spot so that we don't have any time constraints?
Is there a second?
And they can get their presentation in.
Okay, all in favor of moving item number six to after the presentation? Say aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Any opposed?
Nay.
Nay, I don't know, so I believe the ayes have to be forehead.
Who was nay? I'm so sorry.
The three of us.
Okay, and so we will move on to number seven, presentation, Brookside updates.
Page 3 of 6 shows their revenue. So right now, they're in the light green is their total resident revenue at 10.1 million. Their target is 58%, so that's at 52.94%. So they are 1 million under target. We budgeted at a census of 128, so that would be why they're under target. Their expenses as well are under target, $654,000. And right now, through the end of July, Brookside has a loss of $436,000. For July, they received a Medicaid payment. It was a parity adjustment for the CMS rates, and it created a profit for July of $250,000. For Medicaid, for Brookside in total. So this loss is less than it was year date for June.
Just wait until the presentation.
So with this, as you can see in the census is kind of going up and down, up and down. So we are changing our focus to more a long-term focus versus short-term focus, and we are looking at making the first floor of rehab long-term to get more stability. we don't have these now. The rehab right now is, the length of stay is averaging about 15 days, where long-term is averaging between 500 and 600 days. Page 5 of 6 is what I have put together. It's a per-day analysis, which shows by payer source where we are making money or losing money. So with the payer mix, anybody on a Medicare A stay or a managed care stay, we also have to pay their medical bills, so they're on what's called a medical stay, whereas if they're long-term, it's really just for the nursing home and it doesn't include their medical bills. So Medicare A pays this all-inclusive one billing source, so they pay us on average, right now it's $604 a day, and managed care is at $447 a day. But we also have direct expenses for that. So for Medicare, we're running almost $121 a day, and managed care, $97, almost $98 a day. And then private pay and Medicaid, we don't have those medical costs, those additional medical costs. So in the profit loss by revenue, you can see in the Med A bucket, we have a profit of $141,000. In managed care, we have a loss of $179,000. Private pay, we have a loss of $412,000, and Medicaid, a loss of $87,000. Med B, we have a profit of $89,000. So these make up the loss of the $436,000. Our cost per day, expense per day, is running at $452.74. Since our census right now, like I said, we're here today at 105. Yes, 105. We budgeted at 128. We have a capacity for 154 beds. If they were higher in their census, our fixed costs, the biggest one being the renovation, the debt, which is $1 million for the year, would be spread across more rooms. So that's driving that per day expense up. Normally, before this, we were running about 350, 360 a day. Once we get our census up, that should go down and we should be seeing profit in more of the buckets, for sure in the Medicaid bucket. The Medicaid rate has gone up significantly. So in 2022, we started with a PDPM rate. So it was no longer one rate per Medicaid patient. It was based off of cost of care, priority, patient rights, given priority payment model, which is what CMS pays off of now. That is new for everybody, new for all Medicaid. So we have a rate that we had at the end of December, we got a 40% increase in that rate. And now the preliminary for July, we have another 40% increase in rate. Right now, the preliminary rates is 361. That rate is high. We still have to get Medicaid cost report adjustments to that, but prior to that, we were just below 200 a day. So it's a huge increase. So we are no longer losing money on Medicaid. We are breaking even, which is what we should be doing with Medicaid. So we can bring in more Medicaid residents, which will drive that per day expense down.
I think Tammy absolutely nailed it. It's about the stability, and so we would only be having the 24 beds in short-term rehab that we would be utilizing. But having the stability reduces the cost, but also the staffing. When you have more of a long-term care hall versus a acute hall that is coming from the hospital, and the care that they need is much higher.
Awesome. Are there any questions specific to Brookside Financials? Supervisor Noguski.
So you're talking about making that entire group for a long-term rehab anyway, for that stability goal, but does that mean then we're turning away more of the short-term patients? And if so, where are they going?
So we have been doing 1-4 for a long time because of our staff issues.
Okay.
So far we have not run into a huge issue with that. We've been able to consistently do those 24 beds. Could we probably take more? That's a potential, but the problem is we don't know. So it's easier to have those 24 beds of long-term care filled.
Right.
And with
understand that point. I just have a social concern as to, you know, the number of people needing short-term care is probably not decreasing. You know, it's probably ebbs and flows, but, you know, where do they go if they can't come to Brookside, you know?
They could be going to another facility or home, and that is something that we're seeing a lot more of. We don't see the hips and knee replacements that we used to, you know, 5 years ago. It's all done in the hospital, and they send them home.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I'd like to say thank you. You mentioned I requested this, so thank you very much for that. I know at an earlier meeting there was some discussion about how the report was made to finance, and some of the committee members expressed they would like to hear the report. So now, thank you very much for doing that. Second, I'd like to recognize we have members of the Board of Trustees here. We have the chairman, Chairman Pitts, so thank you very much for being here, and we have the vice chair, our county board chairman, Gabe Nugo, so thank you very much. And the third thing I ask is, we did a deep dive into Unidyne, and we talked at budget time about saving $300,000 on the food contract we have, and I just wanted to ask how that was going.
So far, there are zero issues.
So with the 400,000 deficit that we have, that deficit would be 700,000 or you know, maybe 150,000 higher if we didn't have that Unidyne review that we did?
It's not necessarily. They're staffing based off our census. So we brought it down.
Okay.
That they're not staffing for a full load when we are only going to around 100, you know. And so they're charging us for the direct labor, they're charging us actual.
So rough idea what the savings are. I get what you're saying about how everything's scaled down, and the estimated budget time was based on a higher census, but are we saving 100,000, 150,000? Any idea on that?
I will have to look at the finances to know exactly, but they have to look into it more.
Yeah, at the time we did that, we also had some wings closed, so we had some of the dining rooms closed. So their model is to have neighborhood eating dining rooms, so each wing has their own little dining area, and that just is a lot more to staff. So we're starting to open, I think, are they all open now?
Second floor is first floor, I guess.
So,
the only one that is not open at this point.
Thank you so much for that. I would request that you make a report to the Board of Trustees, and then after that, then to Human Services Committee, we could see the report to understand how the Unidyne change is helping us save money and balance the budget, if it indeed is doing that. And then my another point I have is, my recall is that we had ARPA money over $1 million, and we were earmarking that to fund the deficit, so we've got another year of deficit funding and balancing the Brookside. Is that still on track? Is that what the plan is with, if we close with a deficit this way?
There is ARPA earmarked for Brookside. I'm just not positive on the number.
There was like one or 1.1 million. Now that number could change because that money can get allocated anywhere.
Yeah.
But it was at budget time, we were given comfort that, you know, we were looking at over a $3 million deficit last year, the expectation that it would decline dramatically. So that everything seems to be falling into place, but we still need some ARPA to balance, buying us another year. I think maybe it could even go to 24.
It can go up to that.
So it would even, but the thing I'll say is, this deficit I'm seeing is dramatically smaller than what we had last year. I mean, this, when I was scrutinizing the audit with all of the accounting adjustments and everything in it, it was a $3 million hit. And I think, I'm trying to remember, but it may have been a $3 million hit on the general fund. So the final thing I'll say is just a comment. What a sea change. All of the years that I was the CFO here, and the deficits, that Medicaid was just a loser. We just lost money. And now we can break even. So that can help us balance the budget. So the strategy to open a wing to long-term care when there's more competition on what was originally envisioned with the rehab, still accommodating rehab, but knowing the community can handle that, but knowing we need those Medicaid beds. When you have a loved one in the hospital and you need a place to land them, they now can get in the best nursing home, probably the best nursing home in the state. And that's so much better than some of the other news you get when you are, when you find yourself as a caregiver in that position. So that is a good move. So I thank the leadership for that, including the administration and the Board of Trustees. So with that, I yield.
Thank you, Supervisor Gus.
Tammy, could you, for the youth and governance that are you on the committee, could you explain what Medicare is and what Medicaid is and how that affects a patient?
So Medicare is a medical stay, so they have to have there was a 3-day full hospital stay, and then their insurance approves them to get therapy at the nursing home. They have a one fee or one place where you bill, so they bill us, they give us $600 a day, but we have to cover all the medical costs. So everything that's an all-inclusive cost that may cover other therapy, other medical bills. Medicaid is for residents who don't have enough money to pay the full amount. For a single person, they have to be down to $2,000 in assets by a married couple with a community spouse. $50,000 could be a little higher depending on when you apply for Medicaid. And then Medicaid covers, they'll say, okay, you have to pay this portion of your income, and then they cover the rest of the stay. And then private pay is just private pay. They pay whatever rate we have.
You probably know your grandparents as having Medicare and for their insurance, because it's usually 65 and older, and you'll see all the commercials for Medicare Advantage plans. Those kind of go from the side.
Thank you. Couple questions. Question was kind of started, but what is the opt-out? What is our legal requirement with regard to accepting patients or rejecting? How do we manage our mix of patients? What are our rules?
In relation to short-term, long-term, both?
All of it. Then we have some control, I would think, on which patient mix we accept or what patient mix we build based on our profit model or loss model.
Yeah. So it's a whole process. Anytime we get any referrals for a long-term or short-term resident, we do review all their financials, their clinicals. If they have a Medicare Advantage plan, oftentimes we'll already reach out to the family members to let them know how that works, because we don't get the opportunity to tell them, you know, this is your last cover day, then the insurance company does that. So explaining that to them. So it's definitely a process as to ensuring that we are able to meet their financial, their clinical needs, but also they can meet their financial needs as well.
Okay, so we have the ability to filter a patient based on our risk assessment of that patient.
Correct.
Then my other question was, on the budget side, you were using the word loss when you were talking about year-to-date performance against budgets. You said loss, but is there an actual capital loss that you're reflecting at this point, or is there just the difference between budgeted and to-date performance?
So right now our actual loss is $406,000 year-to-date, not compared to budget at all. We are actually $622,000 below where we budgeted. We actually budgeted a profit of $319,000.
Okay, so we do have a capital loss, and it will project out to 640 roughly by end of year?
Yeah, well, the actual loss is 436,000. And I think with these Medicaid rates, I think that may even, I'm hoping, and we get census in, we get more beds, that that's actually going to go down, and we're not going to increase that loss.
Okay.
We have a profit budgeted, but most of that is that Unidyne adjustment we did, so we came in mostly at a break even. And when we changed that Unidyne budget, that's what gave us that 319,000 profit in the budget.
Okay. Makes sense. Yes. Then what do you see as the upslope? That's probably better. But what is the upslope to fill those beds? What is the timeline to get that accomplished in order to affect a break even or profit?
So we did put out an ad stating that we were accepting long-term care applications. We are in the process of reviewing those applications as well as assessing residents, whether they're in another facility or at home, whatever that might be. So we are hoping that there will be an move in of these new residents around the week of the 18th. And then we don't have enough at this point for 24, but we do anticipate having more come quickly. So it's something that is a process that is evolving and
based on current staffing, how many more can we take?
We're good.
Based on current staffing, how many more patients can we take?
We can go up to that 24 beds of long-term care in the rehab, that first floor. We have the staff ready to go.
So we can be at capacity in our first floor.
Yep.
How much more staffing do we require to go to second floor?
So the second floor is our short-term rehab currently. So that's already full of short-term rehab. It's the first floor that we're converting into long-term care.
Okay.
We have hired and we are projecting we should be fine. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the long-term care, again, we don't need the RNs or the number of nurses that we would need if they were short-term rehab.
Okay. I'm curious. My neighbor has tried to get in. She's 95 and she simply can't afford Brookside. So.
Does she have Medicaid?
I'm not sure what she has, but she just told me she, I can't afford it over there. So she still lives at home.
Well, I'd be happy to give you an help. Or you can go online and she can fill out an application as well, or you can assist her with that.
She stayed there on medical recovery before, so she likes it. So, thank you.
I have a quick question about just our capacity in general, looking forward towards next year's budgeting for next year as well. Aside from the, you said the first floor being up to 24 beds, do we have any other, like what is full capacity of the whole facility with all the beds filled? Are we, how close are we to that?
It's 154 bed facility.
Okay.
So our goal, obviously, would be to stabilize all of it except for those 24 beds of short-term rehab because that's a continual in and out. You will not have that same stability. As soon as we can get all the referrals and get people in, I can't give you a projection, but I can tell you that we do have a process in place that we are making it happen as quickly as we can.
Because if I remember correctly, pre-COVID, we more or less had a waiting list, right? So do we foresee that, as far as people had to wait a little bit to get in, do we foresee that getting back to that point by next year, or are we going to be back to that where we're full, but we have that, you know,
rotation?
My goal
is to be back in 2019.
For the 2024 year.
Right.
Okay.
That is my goal.
So we're looking at doing some additional marketing. As you guys know, we've never really had to market for Brookside, so this is sort of new to us. So Lynn and I have been talking every day about how we can go ahead and continue to do some marketing. We did some saying that we would accept some long-term. We've gotten an influx of resident, applications and residents. Now we need to just keep going with that. So we're working on that in order to get all those beds as full as we can.
Okay. Supervisor Husky. Okay, yes. Sorry, Supervisor Husky.
Again, so being in governance, can you just give a brief overview of what long-term care is?
So long-term care is inevitably what you're going to see grandparents. Just use that because I have kids already, so try to use the same analogy. You know, you're going to go see grandma and grandpa or at a nursing home, right? And that's their home inevitably. So you go and see them in their room, go out and enjoy fresh air or whatever. Short-term rehab is oftentimes when they had a fall and they fractured a hip at home. Well, they're gonna have surgery on that hip and then they're going to need to go get short-term care and rehab at a facility. So that's oftentimes where they're gonna go in. The average length of stay is about 14 to 17 days and they're gonna get therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, stuff like that. And they're gonna get treatment.
In long term, what are some of your longest patients or residents in a state at Brookside?
Gosh.
I'm just curious.
My grandma?
Years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Leo.
I mean, we've got residents that have been there since I've been there, and I've been there for almost 6 years. Mm-hmm. Many of them. Their average age is 85.
You'd be really impressed.
Well, you guys were there for the Endeavor Tour, weren't you?
I was unable to go.
I also also wasn't able to. Didn't we do it 2 years ago? I just don't remember.
We'll give you a second.
It's a good tour to go on.
Are there any other comments or questions? Supervisor Banks?
Okay, I wanna, we've had some questions about the beds and the staffing and census. I remember when Brookside, rolled through and we had it all full and, pre-COVID. And I've heard about ads and a marketing plan. I would like to know, now that I've heard this really, and this could be on me, the first time I've heard that we're fully staffed. So at the meetings, we should be fully have the beds full too. So what is part of the ads and the marketing plan that are going on that are going to ensure that we get those beds full so that the staff can have something to contribute? And I would assume that that would make our financials look much better.
Okay.
So could you walk me through that, please?
Sure. One thing that we had to shore up is this change from long-term to short-term. We had to make sure that we had people in place. Because whenever you put an ad out for a place like Brookside, you have people calling, you have lots of applications, you've got to have people review them, you have to do all of that. So we now have that in place. We created a fillable application on the website. We've created an email address so that all applications are going to multiple different people, so we're not missing anybody along, to streamline that process, because it can take a while, in particular if a person is coming from their facility, that facility has to be receptive to giving you information. So we had to streamline that process, which is what we've been working on. Now we're going to be working on our next plan, which is getting those beds full. Now that we have all of the people in place, all the staffing in place, we're going to make sure that we don't have people, calling and not getting calls back, because that would be worse than having to fill the beds. And we're hoping that within the next couple of months, we are as full as we can be. That's our goal.
Yeah, are there ways for seniors to do it if they don't have the help? They might not want to go on the internet and fill an application. I would prefer to talk to somebody face-to-face or fill out something in person. How easy is that? How accessible is that to our seniors?
Literally, they will call us and we will mail them the application if that is what is easier for them. We've had it where they come and pick them up. Whatever is convenient for them, we get it to them. But then we also have to make sure we're getting them back, which also can be
interesting
sometimes.
If someone doesn't have another person, like Supervisor Banks, I was talking about the neighbor, maybe not having another individual, certainly any of us can help them in filling out that application.
And we will go to their homes or their facility, whatever it is, to actually assess them to ensure that they are appropriate for Brookside and we can
and we are targeting the areas we want to have here.
Yes. Like we've talked about, it's the first time we've ever really been able to accept more Medicaid people because the rate is in a much better place than it ever has been. And if you look at Brookside comparative to the rest of the facilities in Kenosha County, Brookside has a 5-star Medicare rating, which is the highest stars you can get for quality and for issues overall, whereas all of the other facilities in Kenosha County are 1-star. So we anticipate that we'll actually draw people from other facilities as well, because it's rare that you get an opportunity to if you're in one of those facilities, to be able to come from Brookside. So I think that's where a lot of those people are going to move in.
Well, I sure hope so. I visited my grandfather 3 times a week at Brookside, and I loved it. I thought it was a great facility. So, we need to fill these beds to get this back on track. So, I would hope that, as the months progress, when we near the holidays, that we're getting these beds full. So, if we could have, a couple months, maybe after budget time, have you come back and talk about your census and where you're at, I would appreciate that, because it is such a big piece of our budget.
Supervisor Edwards?
Mr. Chairman, I'm very proud that the Board of Trustees has taken a position on this issue of eliminating 24 beds. And I just want you guys to understand that we're working very, very hard to generate more money for the county. And I believe that what we did is going to be a win-win decision. Set. We got everything in place. One other thing I need to just bring up to you is that the state came down and spent at a facility and gave us a 100% in, no violations whatsoever. So we, I have to say that our staff is doing a great job, providing great service. And this lady here is doing a good job, and I'm very proud of her. And I'm proud of the whole staff. I mean, I can't tell you how much dedication we are putting into this facility. We're doing a lot of advertising. We got signs outside, on Washington Road, and we have a big sign that we're asking people to come in and interview and for seeing AIDS and anything else. So we're really working very, very hard. I want you to know, as far as trustees are concerned about the revenue, and we're gonna be very, very proud the next report, and we're gonna be much better in position. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Supervisor McCluskey.
I don't want to be the wet blanket here. But I'm hearing some buzz that there could be some resurgence of COVID, and do we have a fiscal contingency plan if we should be faced with restrictions that we were faced with once before in terms of limiting number of beds, staff issues, impact of PPE, stuff like that?
So we follow CDC guidelines and their recommendations. Obviously, the public health emergency has ended. So anytime the CDC makes a recommendation, which they have at this point, such as mask wearing and the different levels that we would need to be at as a community to institute those again. I know it's going to be cyclical with all the kids going back to school today. I anticipate that it will pop up again. I am grateful that our residents are vaccinated and are not good. I have not experienced any residents pass away since those vaccines were implemented. But it's the families, obviously, they live at home and their kids go to school and things happen. So the same things that we have always had, even prior to COVID, for example, for the flu, employees cannot come to work sick. They can't. If they are sick, they do have to stay home, whether it means that we're getting them tested for the flu or COVID, those procedures are in place. So if we go back to the early days of COVID, I don't know if I can do another round. Just kidding, but it, yeah.
I just think in terms of the fiscal report that we're seeing today, it would be my general assumption that we have to make quite an adjustment.
I don't have an answer to that. I can tell you the long-term care, having that stability, is what's going to help us. If it's the short-term, is where we always have the issues in relation to COVID, because they would get it to the hospital and they can bring it to the facility. So again, keeping that consistency and with the long-term care, that's the better route to go.
I frequently get asked about vaccines. Is the COVID vaccine required for employees and residents?
For residents, it is not. For the employees, it is. However, we do take the religious and medical exemptions.
Thank
you. All right, are there any other questions?
I have one last question.
Supervisor Gantz.
I just want to talk about the big picture. You've got right now going a loss of 436. About what was our loss last year at this time?
$7 million, so I
would say
$900,000, about half of that.
That's about what we were.
A
ballpark. Yeah. And I mean, did we get like payments in for revenue later in the year that offset some of that? I remember some of that when I was on
like the COVID funding
or anything. I mean, are we looking for more funding as the year wraps up to give us more revenue to kind of offset anything, or are we just basically on the slide we're on?
So with government, with our other divisions, we have money that comes in at year end. Berk
Brookside is different, it's accrual based, it's always all based on the room revenue, not based on cash at all, so. And I will say, just to get back to the COVID question, because you just kind of made my heart stop. But, I do think that, and you can correct me, but, during the COVID phase, no long-term people left.
No.
Right?
No.
So I think if we're in more of a long-term model and they're, the beds are filled, unless they pass, they're filled, so it could be even better that way.
Well, the advantage of Brookside is that the rooms are private. So isolation is very similar, where it's really complicated in some of the other long-term care facilities where you have, you have a lot.
So, that's, I'm done, thank you.
Supervisor? Are there other austerity measures in place? In other words, now we're looking at a delta of $400,000, we're looking at filling beds, that'll take, call it 50% by the end of the year. Are there any other measures being considered or anything else that we should consider that perhaps is not on the table? Looked at food service, is there any place else to mitigate costs?
I don't think we are necessarily looking at mitigating costs. Now that Medicaid is covering our costs, what other facilities are doing is increasing their personnel costs because they are no longer, that supplemental payment, so their supplemental payment that the feds pay, it's historically been $39 million spread across the other municipal one facilities. Now, with the huge Medicaid rate increases, they are, have reduced that to $25 million because they're only going to cover the deficit, which is why I say Medicaid is now a break even. So, for that reason, and I still think they can go up to $39 million, I think the $25 million they're coming up with is just based on the loss in total. So they're going to cover their costs, and so if our costs increase, we're going to get back from Medicaid, the Medicaid beds, and that was where historically we lost money. Private pay should be a break even, Medicare, managed care, we should be making money.
So they're plussing it up to wash.
They're with the Medicaid cost report that we file annually, they're going to make us whole, which is why we're seeing these huge rate increases. We are in the market at a perfect time. This nursing home has struggled through the struggles. We've got a renovated nursing home. Other nursing homes are closing doors. This is not the time to close the doors. We are seeing the Medicaid increases. And what you're going to find is other nursing homes getting back into it because Medicaid is paying now. We are in a perfect prime time to have this nursing.
It just struck me because we're the only, what is it, 5-star? We're the best of, everybody else is at a 1. We're expending capital beyond what would be our normal operating cost currently. So are we expending excess capital? Are we doing something that others aren't doing that should be reconsidered? That was kind of the foundation of the question.
I wouldn't reconsider what we're spending right now. We put additional resources into our labor, which I think is needed, and we still need that because there is a labor shortage, and those increases have helped tremendously get our staffing up, and we need that to fill beds. So I would not look at cutting costs at all right now.
Okay.
I think the one area we did look at was supplies, and when you have long-term care, it's much more easier to check supplies. When we have this long, these short-term beds that are filled up, you don't know what your supplies are going to be. You don't know what you need. It's very much a little bit out of your control based on the person who's coming in. If we have these long-term beds filled, we know what these individuals need. So it's easier for us to project out and to make our supply costs a little bit more stabilized, which would drive that down as well.
I appreciate that. And I'm not advocating cutting on behalf of grandma and grandpa. I underwrote my grandfather's care to make sure he had what he could get. So. But I appreciate the efforts that you make, and Brookside is an awesome facility, so thank you so much.
That's the first time, and probably the only thing I've ever said, I'm not looking at cutting costs, that would never come out of my mouth.
You don't cut the cost for your children, you don't cut the cost for your grandparents, you take care of it.
Supervisor Biggie.
You mentioned employees, sort of thing. How does our employee pay rate with other agencies in the area?
I honestly
I have no idea. I would assume our rates are much better just because our staffing has increased a lot. I've heard rumors that, you know, our staff is coming from other facilities. So my assumption based off of that, but I haven't done the analysis, that would be an HR thing, but is that we're out there
with what we're studying. It definitely helped, and we had the increases prior to that. You guys definitely made the right decision, and I appreciate that immensely by increasing the pay specifically for our CNAs. Those were the positions that we were having such a difficult time filling, and we have people actually come back to us knowing that, you know, the younger staff, and we're all about that extra dollar or whatever it might be, an hour. But knowing that we have the quality and the facility atmosphere itself, and that additional dollar brought us over. So it was a good thing.
Yeah, especially as you just mentioned, a perfect storm, so to speak, for riding this up in a positive way. We better have the employees and sustain the employees to keep moving this forward, not just be a short stop gap. That doesn't know something. Back at it again, we don't have people here to staff, but kind of goes down. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sustainability of your employees and continuing to just acknowledge they that our five-star facility, keep it going that way if we're here to do. I think that's my question. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Yes, Mr. Pitt.
I'd just like to make a comment. My goal is this. I'm going to pledge. We're going to go back to like we used to do 2 years ago. We're going to give back $500,000 to the town. We've been doing that for many years. And because of this virus that hit us, it's turned us around. But my goal is to go back and start making some money and return that money to the general fund.
All right, any other comments? All right, seeing none, we will move on to item number 6. Is there a motion to reconsider the resolution to approve the appointment of Supervisor Zach Rodriguez to serve on the Board of Health? Supervisor Nedweski.
I move to reconsider the resolution to approve the appointment of Supervisor Zach Rodriguez to serve on the Board of Health.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Nedweski, second by Supervisor Stocker. Any discussion, Chair?
Yeah, before you go through with this here, I have quite a few questions and actually quite a few problems here. I'm not really sure that this is a legal move to make by putting on the agenda as a reconsideration. Have you talked, before you put it in the meeting, who has to reconsider this? Who put it on the agenda?
I received a call from the county executive's office asking to add it to the agenda. It was within the allowed time frame, so I did allow it to be put onto the agenda for this meeting.
Did you check if it was legal to do it?
I did speak with the clerk of courts, or not clerk of courts, I'm sorry, Reggie. I spoke with Reggie and asked about the time frame, if it was allowable. She indicated that it was. It just needed to be noticed properly and moved to on the agenda.
Okay, case. I'm not talking about it, whether it was within the time frame. If it's illegal, I'm not really sure. Again, I'm not saying that it's illegal or whatever, but usually it's my understanding that for reconsideration, you have to be a member of the committee or a supervisor, not coming from the county executive office. They don't make the decision. I spoke to the secretary of this committee. That one, the change was made at 5 o'clock on Friday night, which that's a little bit, I don't know what word I can use on that. Shame. Why wait till 5 o'clock on Friday night on a weekend, on a long weekend with a holiday where nobody could check on anything? And it was done with an amendment because people that looked at the agenda, they didn't even see it probably until today that this was on. So why was it done? And again, by speaking with the secretary, of this committee, the call was made from the county executive office to put it on the agenda. And Katie, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You did not okay that. So why? We don't work for the county executive. We don't report to the county executive. And if we want to take orders from the county executive, then I guess we should apply for a job and be under the direction of the county executive. I believe this should be tabled, if not for anything else, just to make sure that we check with corporation counsel whether it's a legal motion to do it or not. So again, I'm not on the committee. Of course, I cannot make any motion. I cannot vote on that or whatever. But my suggestion, I would say table this resolution. Ask, you were not sure whether it was legal or not, because you called, I don't know why, if directed by someone or whatever. You check with corporation counsel tonight, and I don't know what the answer is. I did not check with anybody. And I think, I see this as being, if anything, at best, it's an orchestrated move to go around the rules, to deceive people, and I think it's pretty bad. It's a very sad day for this county board to do that. So please do the right thing. Table this resolution till next month. It's not time sensitive. If they want to bring it back, just bring it back. But for right now, let's make sure that everything is done on a legal basis. We give, there is another resolution that came in late on Friday, which was not attached to that. I did okay that, to put it on the agenda, subject to receiving that, the same before the weekend, so Corporation Council could look at the legality of that. And as of right now, still, it did not tell me whether it was legal or not. So it's on the agenda for tonight. But unless I hear from Corporation Council that it's legal, it's not going to go on. It's not going to be referred to committee. So please, do the right thing. Table this resolution until the next meeting, because it's not going to hurt anything. It's not time sensitive. That can be done, and that will be the right thing to do.
Mr. Chairman, I can speak. Hold on one second. I do have a comment to a couple of the points that were made. Like I said when I started the meeting this evening, this was brought in at the 11th hour, right before close on Friday. I did check with Reggie, and as far as the legally noticing the changes to the agenda, I did approve adding this item onto the consideration to the reconsider the motion. I did approve adding this onto the agenda for Monday. I was not happy with the timing. It was last minute for several people. In the future, like I said, we need to have any items for our agenda by Thursday. I did speak with Corporation Council regarding this item specifically. Basically, it would need a motion and a second, which we have the vote to reconsider. We would first have to vote on whether or not we want to reconsider this resolution. If it passes, we would start over and it would be re-presented to us this evening. If it fails, it fails and nothing else happens for this resolution. So we do have a motion and a second. If there is any further discussion, Supervisor Nedvesky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for conferring with Corporation Council. Did Corporation Council inform you what the Wisconsin State Public Meeting Notice Law is for Denver?
Yes.
Would you be able to tell me what that is?
If you would like to share.
It's 24 hours.
I did. That was the information I received from Reggie.
So it's not the last hour. The last hour would have been 25 hours before.
I will make a point on our agendas. It does need to be submitted by Thursday.
Is that a county policy?
That's says on our agendas. So that is a policy.
Is it
if you want to be on the agenda, it has to be submitted.
Is it an ordinance or a state law?
You asked if it was a policy. That is how our county board operates.
Do committee chairs now get to make state law and county policy? Or are we following the law? I mean, I think it's legal. It's been confirmed that it's legal. It's a question that it's legal with a group of your colleagues and insult us like that is disturbing. So I have moved to reconsider the appointment of Supervisor Rodriguez to the Board of Health or to the Human Services Board according to this resolution. The Board of Health statement.
Board of Information. It's the Board of Health, not Human Services Board.
Oh. Board of Health?
Board of Health.
There's a lot of different discussion how those two could be joined today if you wanted to, which I think we might consider, I think, today. So the Board of Health. The health and well-being of all Kenosha County citizens has been and always should be a top priority for county government. I have supported efforts by both the previous and current administrations and county boards to protect the health of our residents and visitors alike. I look forward to the opportunity to serve alongside many other professionals in ensuring public health standards, regulations, and laws are properly enforced and overseen. So that does show that the candidate has an interest. I have a question for the chair. Did you confirm with the county executive there were any other applications to sit on the Board of Health or County Board of Supervisors?
We were presented with the application. I did not ask which was.
Are you aware if there are other vacancies that have to be filled?
I did not ask.
So
are you speaking to the motion to reconsider?
We are required by statute to have Human Services Board and a Board of Health, and they have membership requirements. The longer these, and some of those membership requirements include county board supervisors, the longer these seats stay vacant, the longer we are out of compliance. So I disagree that it's not a time-sensitive issue. For that reason, I am asking for your vote to support the reconsideration of the appointment of Supervisor Rodriguez to the Board of Health.
Is there any further discussion on the motion to reconsider? Supervisor Gatz.
Yeah, I mean, I find it interesting that Supervisor Nowinski would ask, what are the committee chairs allowed to do? And, you know, it almost looks like the committee chair of this committee was working with the executive committee in the executive branch of government and at us. I mean, we have a leader of a branch of government sitting here. It's called the county board chair. We're the legislative branch of government. The executive's office doesn't put items on our agenda. You could tell me how this went and all the circumstances, how it was circled around, but you should have checked with the chair of our branch of government before we pulled this. That's really disappointing from the chair of the committee. I will not be supporting this because I don't think, I haven't heard from the Corporation Council. The chairman of our county board is telling us that he's not comfortable with it. So I think that one of the committee members here, I can't do it after I speak, but should move to defer this for till the next meeting. You don't even have to table it. We don't have to pull it off the table. We will hear it at the next meeting. But I think that there's enough questions out there that we should do that and do our due diligence. So that's my opinion.
Supervisor Bethel?
Mr. Chair, I have a number of questions, but I won't get through all of them. I won't play all of them. But I did pull up Robert's rules. If the motion is defeated, a member can reintroduce it as new business at the next meeting. This was put on the agenda by somebody who is not a member. What are our ordinances regarding that? Are the ordinances of the county that anyone can place anything on an agenda or bring it to the chair to approve on an agenda? Or must it come, as Robert says, be introduced by a member who voted on, not just any member, but a member who voted on, Ms. Nedveski, you did not vote on it, you cannot bring this motion, according to Robert's rules.
Point of information, she can. I read Robert's rules four times when I heard this reach around, and she can on a committee level. You can't do it at the board level, but she can do it at the committee level, even by somebody who was absent. So they can do that. But you're right to question who actually brought it. You know, whether the executive.
Point of order, are we going to vote or not? This is the motion is on the reappointment. It's not on the rules and it's not on the legality.
The discussion is around whether or not we are going to reconsider the resolution for Mr. Rodriguez. The point was given, Supervisor Bashaw.
Thank you for the
sure.
point. it's a fine parsing of it, but.
Well, it disappoints me too, but yeah.
I will give a point of information. I did speak with Corporation Council about this specifically. There is a caveat with our county ordinance or policy in regards to Robert's rules. In order for something to be on the agenda, it has to be noticed. So a supervisor would not be able to bring up this without it being publicly noticed. That's why it was put on the agenda as a potential motion to reconsider. That saying that there is a chance that this could happen, the supervisor would have had to bring it forward, but that is because where Robert's rules and our public notice policy with where we have the open meetings, where we have to have it noticed to the public, that is why it was put on there in that regard.
Point of information, Mr. Chair. Supervisor Bashaw stated that the county executive's office put this on the agenda, and you yourself clarified already that that's not the case. The county executive's office reached out to you and asked if you'd be willing to place this on the agenda, and with your approval, it was placed on the agenda, just like every other committee chair's prerogative. And Chairman Bashaw should know that as a chairman. The county executive, or in his case, the sheriff, cannot place something on his agenda without his okay. In this instance, the county executive's office reached out to you.
What I said,
I do not believe that is
what I said at this meeting. This is a procedural discussion. I was reached out from the county executive's office. They asked if I would be willing to put this on the agenda. I said I would. As far as the process for getting it on the agenda, the county exec emailed Kathy. I was carbon copied on there to put it on, and I did speak with Reggie to put it on the agenda. So that is why it's on the agenda. It was communicated, but the it originated from the county executive's office. It did not originate from a supervisor on this committee.
And that's exactly what I said before.
Would you have anything else to add, Supervisor Bashaw?
That is specific to my inquiry. The pathway by which it happened, does it fall within county guidelines? I don't see the county attorney here. We don't have representation here, which surprises me, being that this is a hot button issue that was coming before it tonight, because questions were asked. Because you did have a conversation. I'm sure the chair had conversations, and I'm sure the executive office had conversations. So I'm surprised he's not here, or someone from his office representative this evening. I think it's a valid question that should be asked, answered, and considered before moving forward. I don't agree that this is time sensitive. Has this already failed once before committee? If it was time sensitive, I would have thought folks would have been here to vote on it. However, they weren't. So it failed 3-3. It was gone at that point. Now it's coming back as a secondary motion. So I'm surprised by the process. I'm surprised by the efforts to make sure that the votes are counted and tallied beforehand to make sure everybody's here. But that's beside the point. And thank you for recording me. I appreciate that. Is that for Kevin?
Supervisor Zdunowski?
No further discussion.
Supervisor Gentz?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Supervisor Bashaw laid out the perfect point for this. Number one, I read Robert's rules like 5 times in a row, so I know that this can be done, but it has to be requested by either one of the people who succeeded on the vote or somebody who wasn't there. It can't just be, you know, the county executive's office decided they wanted this back on, and then okay to you, with you. You were on the negative side of this. You were on the losing side. You can't put this back on. I mean, as a chair, you could, but you should have something through Robert's Rules of Order that allow you to do it, and that wasn't done. So I don't know that this is legal. I mean, that is a very good point, Supervisor Bashaw. I don't know that this is legal because it didn't come from Supervisor Nedwiski. It didn't come from one of the people who were the prevailing vote. So I can make it, not that I'm an attorney, but I can make a case right now that that's a problem. And we should defer this for a month in order to get that answered and make sure that we're doing this procedurally correct. Thank you. Chair Udall?
Well, pretty much about the same thing. Number one is that when Supervisor Nedwiski called on Supervisor Bashaw that is doing this, is stating this, stating that. Well, you were the one stating all the state laws, what they do at the state level. I don't care what they do at the state level.
You want to say that a little louder for the record?
Yeah, I do say it loud. Would you like to send whatever you send as text messages? Would you be willing to release Your
point of order.
Well, you asked me about what I do this. Don't distort what I say all the times or whatever that you try to do it.
Chairman, you keep this on the motion.
Okay, sorry. But what I'm saying, and again, I say that this started with, came from the county executive office that started this. I don't think it's legal. Now, they called, they sent it to the secretary of this committee. She put it on. You did talk to Reggie, whatever. You asked for the timing. Now, this year was done back in, what are we now? This is September, right? Back in August, the beginning of August. They had a full month and to wait till 5 o'clock on a Friday night and do that. Don't tell me that that's not a matter of a list of concern or whatever. And nobody could ask Corporation Counsel, nobody could check the legality of it. And it's not gonna hurt anything to wait another month just to make sure that it's legal. If it's legal, fine, go ahead and take a vote. Whatever it is, I'll abide by that. I have no problems, but I want to make sure that it's legal, and at this point, I don't know whether it's legal or not, the way it was conducted.
Before I go to Supervisor Nagoski, I will add, at the end of the day, it is up to the committee whether or not they wish to reconsider the appointment of Supervisor Rodriguez to this committee. If, at the end of the day, a majority of the committee wishes to reconsider the appointment of Supervisor Rodriguez, that will happen one way or another. If the majority of the committee agrees, that is the conversation I had with Corporation Counsel. So at the end of the day, whether or not, you know, I did not agree with the timing either, this was all last minute, I'm very frustrated by this whole process. But at the end of the day, the majority of the committee decides whether or not we will move forward with the appointment of Supervisor Rodriguez at the end of the day. So, Supervisor Nagoski.
I called a question.
Is there a second? Okay, roll call. Supervisor Houston?
Aye.
Supervisor Yost?
No.
Supervisor Kubicki?
No.
Wow. Supervisor Gentz?
Wait, that's not a vote, but wow.
No. Supervisor Stocker?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
I think
calling
about
the
to
calling the question.
Calling the question, Bill. Correct. I had Supervisor Gerson was next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I read in our minutes that it was at the very last Human Services meeting that we considered this. So this would then be the next succeeding meeting. So through the chair to the committee secretary, I just want to confirm that there wasn't a meeting between our very last meeting where the this motion failed the last time and this is the very next.
Did the motion fail in July or August 1?
This is the very next.
We did not have
yes,
a meeting.
This is
oh
the
yeah,
very,
this is the very next meeting.
This is the very next succeeding meeting since it failed last time, correct?
If it failed in August, yes.
Right. So confirming that, I yield.
Supervisor Decker?
I would like to ask Supervisor Nedweski. Supervisor Nedweski, did you wish to reconsider this motion before it got on the agenda?
Yes, I did.
And did you confer with the county executive on that?
Yes, I did.
And did she ask or did you ask her if she could follow up and see if you could place on the agenda?
I was told by staff of the county executive office that they conferred with Corporation Counsel and that it could be placed on the agenda.
Okay, so you recommended a motion to reconsider?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thank you.
Point of information, she did not reach out to the chair of the committee to have it put on the agenda. Supervisor Gentz.
Somebody beat me to it.
Thank you. Appreciate that. As the chairman said, at the end of the day, the amount of votes wins. I agree with that, and I'm not questioning that. And we're all going to have to abide by the end of the day vote. But what we do not have to be okay with is the process of how this happened. And I mean, I can appreciate Supervisor Decker trying to plug Supervisor Nedweski in, you know, at 7:10 after, you know, she didn't ask this to be reconsidered. And if she asked it to be reconsidered, she should go to the proper chain of command, which is our county board chair, not the executive. That's what I have a problem with, the process of how this went. And that's why I question the legality, the ethics, the however. And that's why I think we should take the time to sort this out. If we come back in a month and it's stated that, hey, everything was above board and fine, let's take the vote. That's fine. But, I mean, there are legitimate questions out here. As per Robert's rules, which I read very carefully, I'm not sure that this meets that. Thank you.
Is there a question?
I apologize, but what legal aspect are we considering here for this motion? Like, what potential law?
Last month, Supervisor Rodriguez had, there was a resolution from the county executive to appoint Supervisor Rodriguez to the Board of Health. Last month, when we had our meeting, there was a tie, and on a tie, the vote fails.
Sure.
So, per Robert's rules, you can have a motion to reconsider to be put back on the agenda. So we are right currently, there's discussion around whether or not we want to reconsider his appointment to the Board of Health. If that vote passes, then we will vote again on whether or not Supervisor Rodriguez will serve on the Board of Health. And then we go back to where we started at last meeting. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Supervisor Gentz, or was it Rodriguez, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just want to clarify again, the motion to reconsider has to happen tonight. It has to happen in the subsequent meeting. If it doesn't happen tonight, you can't table it, go listen to that. He knows the truth. Supervisor Gentz is a well-seasoned supervisor. He knows it has to be tonight. Additionally, we've spoken with Corporation Counsel Joe Cardamone, and he has said that while he cannot be in the room with us currently, he is willing to take a phone call from the committee. The chief of staff can make that phone call off of her cell phone and put to bed these, what I'm going to call, false notions of not knowing if this is legal. The people that are replicating that lie know it's a lie. They know that this is legal. The county executive, like anybody, any one of us, can request that the committee chair or the county board chair place something on the agenda, and that's what happened. You approved it. But this notion that we need to go to the county board chair for permission is also false. We do not report to the county board chair.
Is that all?
That's all.
Thank you.
If we're that concerned, let me add about the legality. Let's call that, Joe.
Supervisor Uhas.
Okay, so just for clarification, the issue here is that Supervisor Nedwiski did not make the request. That's the issue. It didn't come from her directly. It came from the county executive's office. So, and according to Robert's rules, in order for something to be reconsidered, it has to be brought back by the prevailing side. The side that lost.
I made a motion.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, that's all I wanted to
clarify. That's not correct. Supervisor Gans stated that earlier tonight.
I will state in this discussion, I did confirm Supervisor, or with the Corporation Counsel, that this would have to be at the next meeting. That's why it was added to this agenda, which is why I said earlier, at the end of the day, the committee decides whether or not to reconsider the resolution. And if I did not put it on the agenda for this evening, and a majority of the committee wished it to be considered, then it would have to go on the following meeting anyway. So I more or less did not, it's not up to me if a majority of the committee would like it considered. And that was what I was told from Corporation Council. And that is why it is on the agenda before us. It's here, so if we can continue the discussion. Supervisor Gears.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want the committee to understand, I'm only one member of the committee, but it's my understanding that if I do not act tonight, this motion will die. I'm operating under that legal understanding of the process and procedure. If we do not act tonight, the ability to reconsider this in the future will die. And with that, I'm only speaking for myself and my state of mind, for myself. So the committee is aware of that. And with that, I yield. Thanks.
Also, given the information I was given, if this does not go through, the county executive could reappoint Supervisor Rodriguez, and we could go through the process again.
Well, one of the things I was just going to say, because if that happens, county executive could send and still could come to this committee next month. That's one thing. The The other thing is, if it was so important, so crucial, and they knew since August 4th, I believe the date was, or something like that, the last meeting, why wait till the last second on Friday to put it on the agenda? And again, that question is, now that it's got to be on the agenda, or if it's on the agenda, then you guys can vote on, how did they get on the agenda? A supervisor should have asked, and not the corporation, county executive office. That's who has to put it on the agenda. And that's what I don't think it's legal to do that. And I know they've been saying that it's lies and lies. There is people lying, but I tell you what, it's not me lying. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Noodle. Is there any other discussion? Supervisor Nadolski?
To my knowledge, there's not anyone in this room that's an attorney. Anyone? So all this talk about what's legal and what's not legal, what's the law, what's Robert rules, what's the ordinances, we don't have clarification from Corporation Counsel here. We could call him. But the fact of the matter is, some people are making up things like they know the law. Some are saying, I talked to Corporation Counsel, or I got information from Corporation Counsel. Some are saying they knew what somebody else was thinking 5 days ago or 3 weeks ago. But the truth is that we're here to vote on this motion to reconsider. If there's a legal problem with it, someone will bring it up, and we will have to address that at a later date. But Corporation Counsel spoke to the chair. You spoke with the Corporation Counsel. You had confidence that it was legal, and you approved it to put on the agenda. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes. So, nobody in this room is a lawyer. Every time they open their mouth and say, this person is in charge of this and this person in charge of this, I don't know if they're exactly right. Because I know that I represent District 16, and I am accountable to District 16, and I don't have to run every decision I make for District 16 on behalf of District 16 through a supervisor who represents a different district. I yield.
I want to respond to that.
Supervisor Yunus.
Through the chair, Chief of Staff, are you aware of any other supervisors that applied for this position?
No.
And why is that?
I can't answer for supervisors why they would or would not have.
The reason why is because no one else was asked. The county exec only asked Supervisor Rodriguez to fulfill this position, which she is within her rights to do. But to say that only one person applied is true in the sense that there was only one person that was aware of the application process and was given an opportunity to apply. So I would just like that to be on the record.
Supervisor Bashaw,
I heard a number of statements that I'll try not to get into the quagmire with, but I understand that there's a question of timing, speed, the necessity to get this done because we're out of compliance with state law. So from the time this was initially referred from the board to committee, it went on the next subsequent agenda. Was it addressed at that agenda, that meeting?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well.
When this was initially referred from the county board to this committee, for its next subsequent agenda, was it taken up that evening on that agenda, or was it deferred until the next month?
I believe we did not hold a meeting in July, and so it was not taken up until August.
Which month was this referred? It was a June referral from the chair.
I believe it was end of June, right before the last meeting of June.
Point of order. The motion is the reconsideration. It's not the timing of when it was introduced. It's not the rules. It's not the law. It's the reconsideration.
Well, as you like to say,
you can tie that into the order. You can tie that into the
Excuse me. Thank you. Continue. Is that also
beneficial? No, not by far. As I tend to hear so many gyrations made and who's a lawyer, who's not a lawyer, who has voice, who doesn't have voice, when we refer to what the state would do, what the state law is, and advised on that by the same member who says that we're not lawyers. It's interesting to me. But it came came to this committee, my understanding was it didn't get taken up on the initial. That was my understanding of the timeline. Then it was taken up on the subsequent. It failed. It went back around. But it failed because there wasn't enough votes on one side or the other. It was just a hung jury, 3-3 vote. Is it my understanding or am I incorrect? Did I understand that the appointee was working to have it delayed to the next meeting to make sure that a certain member could be here
point
to make
of
sure
order.
That the, you raised the question.
Mr.
Of
Chairman,
timing.
Are we going to vote
and
on the reconsideration
be done
or are we going to argue about who said he said she said?
Point of information.
No.
That my point of information is in order. So I'm going to talk.
Continue.
Because Supervisor Batchelor.
Not if you're not
staff.
Recognized, you're not.
The good thing you're not the chair.
Yeah,
glad you're not on the meeting.
Be quiet, please.
There you go.
I asked for this to be deferred because I could not be here and I knew Supervisor Medweski could also not be here. And because during my time as a chair and as a county board supervisor, new appointments, in my opinion, as just as me, should always be there for their meeting. And in practice, when an appointee could not be there, it would be tabled. And that's what I asked for. Knowing that this there would be a tie, assuming there would be a tie, and I assumed correctly, the county board chair was made aware of it. The county board chair was asked to do his job as defined by the law, and break the tie. And the county board chair sat in his office upstairs. So here he is tonight speaking against the appointment. I'm just curious why he wasn't man enough to come down and cast
point of order. That's out of order.
Okay,
now
I'm going to speak. Whether that's you can call me out of order or whatever. This is completely uncalled for. If you want to lie,
okay,
I'm not going to hold on. No, I'm going to finish talking now. Okay? If not, I will make a drastic decision. I can make a drastic decision right now.
Can you
please
hold the debate?
I'm sorry?
Can you please hold the debate?
That's what I'm doing.
It sounds like he's threatening to lose
his chair. If you finish, are you finished with your point of information?
You know, you got
a
big...
What I said was accurate. And the chairman and video cameras...
Hold on. Supervisor Rodriguez. You were given a point of information to Supervisor Bashaw's comment.
I believe
are you
I
done?
Answered it unless he has any further
thank
questions.
Thank you. Supervisor Bashaw, do you have anything to add?
Well, I do now, as there was a statement just made that you weren't available to be here. However, you were available here, to be here for the board meeting immediately following. So I find that
We're not having back and forth.
I'm speaking to the timing. That was the big argument was this must be done because of timing. If it's not taken up tonight, it fails, and then we're out of state compliance, and then we're breaking the law, and then we're doing all these things wrong. I asked for a legal opinion on this. I believe you should have one. I believe it is fundamentally important for us, as a, for you as a committee, for us as a board, to make sure that our legal representative can provide appropriate opinion on this, not to delay it. So that's my opinion on it. I appreciate the statements made, as they certainly are expository, but thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Newell.
Okay, I got a couple of comments. Number one is Supervisor Rodriguez say that he could not be here. However, he knows that I was sitting in my office. How did he know that I was sitting in my office if he could not be here for the meeting? I was accused by another supervisor that she was thousands of miles away from Kenosha, that I was sitting in my office and I didn't want to come downstairs to vote party lines. The other thing is that any new supervisor, when I say new supervisor, appointed to a new committee should be here. Tonight, there was a supervisor that was appointed. I didn't hear anything to say, let's defer this because the supervisor is not here.
I'm not on the committee, otherwise I would have.
But you're speaking now. Why are you speaking now? You just speak whenever you want. You just speak whenever you want. You don't want anybody to say anything to you, but then you open your mouth all the time. Yeah, that is correct.
Supervisor,
just shut up.
Yes.
Just being man enough.
Order.
I'm a man enough to do it now. To do it to
the
end.
Come on!
It's clear that you guys are going to delay.
You shouldn't be talking!
It's clear.
Excuse
delay.
Me.
You're
you
out of
do
order.
Not have the floor. You do not have the floor. This is discussion. We are not having back and forth unless
just
you
one
ask
last
the
question.
Chair.
Just since I still got the floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just one last question. Who is Supervisor Rodriguez B? being appointed OEC Society.
John O'Day, who did not want to be on the board anymore.
I was asked a question, if you'd mind. Does it say on the packet, is he succeeding Supervisor O'Day? It says on the resolution.
Okay, and when did Supervisor O'Day resigned or was removed or whatever, or expired or whatever? When was that?
I defer to Tammy.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
When did Supervisor O'Day?
Resigned or the term expired or whatever. If I recall correctly, it was months ago that Supervisor O'Day said he was not going to be at the community board. So that was not, the appointment was not made by after that. Okay, thank
Anything
you.
Upstairs?
I'm done, and I'm going upstairs because the meeting is going to start in a couple of minutes.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
I have one thing to say real quick, 2 seconds. If anybody calls a question before we can debate the last thing, that's really crappy. So I just want everybody to know, we should have the ability to discuss this. So, thank you.
All in favor of the motion to reconsider the resolution to approve the appointment of Supervisor Rodriguez to serve on the Board of Health, say aye.
Aye.
Roll call required. Requested.
Supervisor Gersten.
Aye.
Supervisor Juhas.
Nay.
Supervisor Kubicki.
No.
Supervisor Getz.
No.
Supervisor Stocker.
Aye.
Supervisor Dudwoski?
Aye.
Chair votes no. Is there any other business as authorized by law?
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Supervisor Gersten.
Can
all in favor?
Can you guys please sign the roll call?
Yes, make sure you sign the resolution for Supervisor Gersten.
Kathy, what do? I do for you?
Go ahead. Stop. Did you stop?